After a lifetime of researching the dynamic and enigmatic world of light entertainment, I've decided to ditch my notebook and meet the people who inspire me. What makes them the people they are? How do they feel about the show business landscape in which they find themselves? And in a world where anyone can be a star, is there still a need for performers who have universal appeal? Come with me on a journey of discovery as I get a unique insight into Britain's favourite stars with a little help from my glamorous assistants. Yeah, well, I say glamorous, more like hazardous. And of course, we'll have a bit of fun along the way.
It could be said that Sean Ryder's contribution to popular culture over the last three decades is difficult to overlook. As one quarter of the seminal alternative rock group, the Happy Mondays, Sean became responsible for cultivating a whole new sound and helped put Manchester firmly back on the musical map and influenced a whole new generation of rock stars. I caught up with Sean ahead of the Happy Mondays South Coast leg of their nationwide tour to talk TV moments, life on the road and rock and roll. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sean Ryder. I've heard many people talk about Manchester in the 80s and 90s in a similar way as people talk about Liverpool in the 60s. What was it about this time that spurred so much creativity?
Oh, God, do you really want me to tell you the truth? Without any bullshit? Most probably the ecstasy scene, really. That had a lot to do with it, if we don't want to beat about the bush. Yeah. So that had a big part to it, as well as a load of creative people, you know, and a lot of us with a lot of time on our hands, because there wasn't really a lot of jobs going around. So, you know, that mixed with a new designer drug, sort of, that was it.
And how important was the Hacienda to the development of the alternative rock sound?
I mean, the thing about the Hacienda is, it was a great club. It opened in 1982, and it really was a sort of a student-y club and for live bands, you know. And until there was a live, you know, when there wasn't a live band on there, the place was empty, you know. I mean, it was up until 1987, you know, it was empty. I mean, you go and watch bands like James or the Smiths or New Order and Orange Juice and stuff like that, but club nights, there wasn't many people in, and then sort of 87 the sort of hit and it all kicked off. But how important was it? It was really important, you know. I mean, that's where, you know, you got to see the sort of all your up and coming bands, and then on the club nights you had Mike Pickering, who would sort of get off to Chicago or New York every other weekend buying up all the sort of latest house records.
And the Happy Mondays formed during the early 80s, when Britain was experiencing both social and political unrest. In what ways did you use this as a backbone of your sound?
God, well, the one way we sort of used the political unrest and what was going on is we went on a thing called Thatcher's job creation scheme thing, enterprise allowance. So the Mondays in the very early 80s, I think the enterprise allowance started about 82 or something, and we went on that as a band when we were people who wanted to start up shoe shops and greengrocers, and we took batches. We got £60 a week on the enterprise allowance. So what else did you say then? Sorry, I'm rambling on.
Sorry, that's fine. I said, in what ways did you use this as the backbone of your sound?
Really, I mean, just because, I don't know, I mean, you know, we didn't have any jobs, so we just concentrated on getting music together, and our sound, our music, really, is we just ripped a bit from everything, you know. I'll never take the credit that, you know, we mix rock and sort of dance music. I mean, Funkadelic and Parliament was doing that in the 70s, and so was lots of other things. But I mean, that's what we took sort of, you know, rock music or indie music and mixed it up with bits of Northern Soul or Funkadelic, and then tried, all our influences really tried to hide them, you know, as well.
Now, the Mondays split in 1993 and promptly you formed Black Grape. How different was it to be in a brand new band after over a decade as frontman of a very successful group?
Well, I mean, the thing about Black Grape was really, it really wasn't a band. It was in the sense of, it was a band, but it was me and Kermit, and then we got all our session guys in who, if you're lucky enough to keep some decent session guys and have them with you all the time, so you don't have to keep finding about getting different musicians all the time. So we was quite lucky in that respect that we had some great session guys with us, but it was me and Kermit, so it was really easy. I mean, it's like it is now. I mean, the Mondays is, six people with six big personalities where, you want to do something in the Mondays and there's, a shed load of other people who've all got a say, where in Black Grape, it's just me and Paul. So it's a lot easier.
Okay. Now, you became synonymous with Chris Evans' iconic entertainment series, TFI Friday, where you famously used bad language before the watershed. Now, in terms of your career, was this a help or a hindrance?
Well, obviously, in a way, it was an help. It's like everything we did, really. I get asked all the time, does it really piss you off about, still going on about drugs and this and that? Well, in a way, yeah, and also no, because music had got really boring again, By the time sort of early 80s come along, it had turned into like a never-ending 1976 episode of Top of the Pops. All the rock and roll, all the sort of stuff that we grew up with the Stones and the Beatles and then with punk and the Pistols, had gone, and it turned into a nightmare of Brotherhood of Man. And all the rock and roll and madness had gone out of it after we'd had punk, and we wanted to put that back. We were young kids. I was 18 when I started the band, and we did what young lads did and had a good time doing it. It didn't. It really didn't. I got banned from Channel 4, for a long time, which I think ended in 2010. But apart from that, still going on about all that shit now.
So, looking back at your career, what's your proudest achievement?
Well, all of it. Staying in this game till 55 years old, all of it,
Yeah.
Every single bit of it, making a good, having a good body of work there.
Yeah, definitely. So, what's next for Sean Ryder?
Oh, God, really? You see, the Mondays are on hold now after this tour. You're going to be sort of on hold for 2 years while we concentrate on Black Grape, because with the success of the album that we've just done, so we're going to be sort of travelling around the world for the next 2 years promoting that with Black Grape. And then I'm also off in a few days' time abroad filming a new reality show, which I'm not really supposed to talk about, but it's going to be fun.
Okay, well, that's all the questions we've got here for you, Mr. Ryder. Really appreciate your time.
And pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much to our guest for being the subject of another Beyond the Title interview. If you like this, why not browse the website and see if there's anything else that takes your fancy? Don't forget to like our Facebook page to receive updates on forthcoming interviews and to see more information about me and what I do. Thanks again, and hopefully see you next time for another Beyond the Title interview.